Well, good morning, everyone. When Kelvin sits down, we can start. No, Kelvin and Janet are on time. Thanks. Yeah, good.
The one with the lid on it.
Oh, yeah. You need to turn this off. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that the Campbells can be with us today. Thank you for your word. We're rightfully concerned about what goes on in our fallen world. And please open our hearts and minds as we just look at some principles from Scripture about who the players are and what they actually believe and how that contradicts your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy 13. Does everybody have some notes? Yeah, because those are pretty complete notes. But Deuteronomy 13. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with your heart and with all your soul. So just false prophets, any other god, of course, we know that's one of the big 10. We shouldn't do it. Have no other gods. So we've been talking about the root of anti-Semitism, the real root, not the talking heads on the media root, but where this actually comes from. And just to refresh you, the correct answer for the quiz show is Genesis 3:15, and I will pour enmity, hatred, I will pour enmity between you, Satan, the serpent, and the woman, Eve, representing all the Jewish people, and of course, the Jewish Messiah, and between your seed, Satan's seed, and her seed. My translation, that does have it capitalized, sort of ultimately pointing to Christ. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So what I call the war of the seeds, that's, you know, the cosmic battle throughout history, good versus evil, but especially the Jewish people and the Jewish Messiah and Satan stirring up trouble against that. So it's a spiritual cause. Does everybody understand that? See, because, you know, we talk about, well, next week we'll talk about, you know, the land, who owns the land and the people and all that stuff. But all that is symptoms of the cause, a spiritual cause. And do you think CNN news reporters are going to understand that? No, I'm sorry. So, all right. So then last week, I'll go through this very quickly. We talked a little about Islam's history and the person of Muhammad. You know, he was a dreamer of dreams. And of course, we have Allah. We'll talk a little bit more about that here. Then how great it expanded very quickly. You know, it started here and then pretty soon, you know, all of North Africa and even into Spain. And later in Islamic empires under the Ottoman Empire, they got as far as Vienna. Up here, so rapid expansion. You know, some 1.9 billion adherents now. Very, you know, one of the fastest growing religions. We talked about some of the different sects. There's the Sunnis and the Shiites, and what some of their differences are. And then we talked about the belief. Their scripture is the Quran, which means recitation, and you know, that's about 2/3 of the New Testament. and it was dictated by Muhammad, who was supposedly who was illiterate, and so that's part of the miracle. But the Quran is their scriptures, the Hadith are sort of their sayings, their commentaries, and then you've heard of Sharia law. That's a law code which Shiite Islam, you know, wants society and the religion to be one. You talk about a theocracy. Iran is the biggest Shiite country in the world, and that are really the only Shiite country. And it is a theocracy run by the Ayatollah. So the teachings, some of the doctrines, you know, God is Allah, one God, singular God. And we'll talk more about how they get that, you know, what their take is on that. They believe in angels and Satan and two angels that record your good deeds and bad deeds. We'll talk about that in a minute. Scripture, we've already talked about, as the ultimate is the Quran, but they like the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Old Testament. They respect that. They respect the Psalms. They respect the Gospels. They like the person of Jesus. But obviously the Quran supersedes all that, because ultimately they think the Bible was corrupted. Our Bible, the real Bible, is corrupted. Muhammad is the prophet. You know, Adam, Moses, Jesus, all important. But they were only for certain times. Muhammad is for all times. Judgment Day, they believe in judgment and resurrection and their version of paradise, you know, all the virgins, and very sensual, very sort of almost fleshly. And then they have a very, very strong view of predestination, fate. Allah is absolute. He determines, you know, and so it's just up to us to accept our kismet, our fate. And as some you'll hear Muslims say, inshallah, a lot. If God wills, you know, everything, you know, I'm going to go to the supermarket, inshallah. If God wills it, I will go. So then you've heard of the five pillars. The Shahada is their statement of faith. There's no God but Allah. Muhammad is his prophet. Giving alms, or no, that's prayer. Five times a day facing Mecca. There's giving 2.5% alms, which is to be used for Hamas weapons. I mean, orphans and, you know, charity and widows. Saum or Swam is the fast that you'll hear in the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, the ninth month fast. And then the Hajj is the pilgrimage. So that's where you see people once in their lifetime go to Mecca, and you see them walking around the Kaaba stone at the big arena there in Mecca, wearing white clothes. So any questions about that? I wanted to zip through that because we're going to talk today about the errors. Any questions? All right. So in general, the Bible, God's word, has influence. Muhammad had interaction with especially Jews, but some Christians early on when he was in Mecca and Medina. And so their strict monotheism really appealed. So the Bible has affected his dreams, if you will say. So Islam is they call it the three monotheist religions. Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And God's nature is, you know, is very preeminent. You know, their view, very preeminent and sovereign. You know, probably some of us Christians, I think, could learn a little more about, you know, that God is God. Well, they consider Allah totally other in the way of just, he's out there and we'll talk about his nature a little more. And then judgment. Obviously, they believe Allah is going to ultimately judge the world. Now, their understanding where the Bible is corrected, you tell me where this is wrong. Back in Genesis 22, Abraham took Ishmael and offered him, and that obedience showed that Abraham was a good Muslim. Right. See, so that's and we talked a little bit about where they look to Ishmael as he's, if you will, a founding father of the Arab people, along with Edom and some of the other countries that are in Jordan and around the world, but around the Israel. But Ishmael was the one that was offered, not Isaac. And remember we don't have this verse. But remember, God said, in Isaac, your seed will be called. So right there, you got Ishmael. Think Ishmael, Arabs, Islam, Isaac, Jews, Christians. So right there, there's a war between those two brothers. Okay, so God, now I'm going to tell you what they believe. You tell me where that's wrong, and I'll give me a verse if you got it. I'm going to make you participate today. So God is single. And what's called the sin of shirk is to give God an associate. So there's nobody that compares with God. That's good. But there is no, nobody can be associated with God like Jesus. You know, somehow God is sharing his divinity with Jesus, they would say. There are 99 different names for God, but no Father. They don't have a concept of a heavenly Father. He is very absolute, of course, very fickle. See, that's the difference. He just fickly, he can, and yeah, I won't go into Muslim theology, but God can change his mind. And we just have to say, yep, whatever you want, God. And he deceives. He can actually deceive people to accomplish his sovereign will. So, see any problems with any of that? Okay, I heard somebody say the Trinity. Why? Right, it's monotheism. Well, Christianity, granted, is how do you explain that to, unless God has revealed it to people? But we believe in one God in three persons. And so Jesus, the Islam greatly respects Jesus, but he's obviously not the Son in the sense of divine sonship. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So that would be a blasphemous statement. Not, even the Pharisees would have thought that, but for Islam. And in, what is it, John 5, that all judgment is given to the Son because he is the Son of God. So we obviously believe in Jesus, but the centrality of Christianity is Christ, and this he is one person with two natures, fully divine and fully God. And so, they get it wrong. A lot of heresies in the Christian church come about because we overemphasize the deity or the humanity of Christ. So God, go ahead, Calvin. Well, it comes from the way I understand it. When Muhammad saw the debauchery in Mecca, Caravan City, it was like, what would be good, New York City or Las Vegas. And he saw the debauchery. He was, he wanted people to behave. And so they had all sorts of gods. And it was almost like he decided that Allah, which was associated with the moon, that one God will be that's the one God. All the rest are idols. And he came down hard on idolatry and all that stuff, but he elevated a false god, a demon, if you read the Bible elsewhere. a demon, an idol with demons behind him from a, you know, biblical worldview. He elevated Allah to be the one true God. And I'm blanking on what the name means, but Allah is, you know, there's no God but Allah. Inshallah, you hear a lot. So does that answer your question? You hear that a lot, because can we all just get along? Haven't you seen the bumper stickers? Yeah, and who's the enemy of all those wacko religion? Who is the enemy? The T at the end, the cross. A story. I was, you know, a chaplain. And I'm a friendly guy, believe it or not. I got along with all the you know, a good friend of mine was the Mormon chaplain at the academy. And the Jewish rabbi, he and I became good friends. And he was busy, I'll say almost, he was answering questions. But another friend of mine that was supposedly a Christian was asking the rabbi, well, about that very question. Don't we all just worship the same God? And the rabbi was being insistent. Well, yeah, of course, it's all the same God. You know, we worship the same God. One, you know, because we're all monotheists. So that must mean we all worship one God. So, and you know, he's a friend, so I wasn't going to be antagonistic. But at that time, actually, he's before I was a friend. I said, no, we don't. You know, we don't. Because, oh, so you believe in the triune God. And they would, no, well, no, folks. You know, maybe you can't explain it. If you start giving examples or try to illustrate it, you get into heresy very quick. But we have to believe, if you believe the Bible, and if you're a Christian, that the Bible says there's one God, three persons, and can't explain it, but God reveals it. Unfortunately, in the church, we get a lot of people that, well, I don't understand it, so it can't be true. Well, maybe a better let go of your hubris and try to believe what God says. So, yeah, Janet.
In Judaism, they believe that when the Messiah comes, he will be the Son of God?
And there are many branches, you know. Judaism is not one, but the Judaism, the folks that, you know, actually sort of believe the Old Testament, because Judaism has branches that are basically secular. But some of the, you know, maybe the Orthodox, they, you know, they look to the Mishnah, the Talmud and the Mishnah, sort of other writings have taken the place of what we call the Old Testament. But I'll be the Hebrew scriptures. And so they know that there's a coming Messiah. But who is the Messiah? He is a type of David, which he is. We, you know, there's some of the covenants, but that's about as far as it goes. And so it's you know, they're looking, yeah, I mean, thinking Jesus' day. Hosanna, Hosanna, what did they expect Jesus to do? I mean, the fervor of Passover, but that also carries over to Tabernacles, just a nationalist. It wasn't Christian nationalism like you stupid Christians believe. It was Jewish nationalism that didn't like the Roman occupiers. And so they were looking, they're looking for a Messiah, which in Hebrew only really just means anointed one. And so he's going to overthrow the hated Romans. And then part of, you know, it's a spiritual problem ultimately, but part of it was when he didn't do that, 1 week later, crucify him. So, does that answer? Does that help? Any other questions about that? All right, humanity. Oh, the humanity. You know where that came from? Hindenburg. And that the reporter actually had a very low voice, but it got sped up on the newsreel and said, "Oh, to humanity." Yeah. Okay, so we've already talked about there are two angels who are weighing your deeds right now. And so humans have a clean slate. And so then it's basically when you get to the end of your life, we look at the scale and your good deeds outweigh the bad deeds. Allah might let you into paradise. Ultimately, it's up to Allah, though. What's wrong with that?
Works-based.
Absolutely. And so some of these doctrines that I foam at the mouth over. So are people born morally neutral? That was a Christian heresy called Pelagianism. And so you get a lot of, well, people are basically good, but society corrupts them. Really? Now, I think society gets corrupted because, you know, and that's how, who is it? Bodhi Bakum, I love him. You know, oh, sweet little innocent child. And Bodhi Bakum says, no, they're not. They're vipers in diapers. But human is sin nature. And so I'm not going to go into that. But, you know, I have a very, well, it's Herschel, Pastor Herschel, those of you know, he used to tell me, I'm an expert on sin. Because I have a little different, you know, I come from a different theological camp than Herschel, but I believe man is dead in sin. Not only the corruption, but the guilt from the fall. Therefore, we can't do anything ourselves. In fact, Ephesians 2 and 3, here's some Bible verses. Among whom we all once conducted ourselves, this is Paul, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, not some have sinned, everybody but Billy Graham have sinned. Or this is the one that gets me, Mother Teresa. You know, this Mother Teresa did a lot of wonderful things. Doesn't mean she's a Christian. Now that'll stir up trouble. So humanity, we understand. So grace, which is why Jesus had to die. And then, of course, then that impacts who is Jesus, because if just a good man died, what is that? What good does that do us?
So are there like two angels for everybody, or is everybody
one individual? I don't know, but you've probably got your own personal ones. You've got two bad angels that are keeping track. They can't keep up with Kelvin. All right, so sin, what are the, you know, you can see how these are all related, right? So humanity, born neutral. So what do we, is there such a thing as sin? What do we do about sin? You know, any world religion, that's a huge question. What do you do for sin? How do you know that God, in quotes, you know, whatever God you say you worship, how do they handle that sin? Well, in Islam, no atonement, you know, the cross, no huge sacrifice by, in our case, God the Son, no atonement is necessary. You, like Charlie said, you earn salvation, especially by following those five pillars. So we could all today start on the path of being good Muslims. The first thing you have to say, and mean it, is that Shahada, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And if that's sort of the entrance to being a good Islam, Muslim, then the rest of it, you know, all those other five pillars come along with it. So, well, Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive, okay? I think we were dead. We are dead in sin. But you are, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And so, can What are the consequences for sin? Any verses come to mind? For the wages, but the gift of God, not the wages of sin is dead. And if I do all five pillars, then no, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. So we've got to, you know, where do you think those, that crazy guy who talks about the three points of theology? He's a nut job, right? He's a heretic. But three points of theology. Sin is worse than we think it is. Church people, I would say most of them don't really believe that. I mean, we're better than the people that are in that church next door. I guarantee you that. Sin is worse than we think it is. But God's grace is bigger than we think it is. We can't do anything. I mean, obedience is important. But if we're trying to earn our salvation, there are way too many church people who, well, you know, we have more food and we serve more widows than they do next door. So we compare ourselves with people. The standard is the holiness of God. How can that holiness be satisfied? Only by the mediator, the death of Jesus, God the Son. So the gift of God, so grace is bigger than we think of. And then point number three, Jesus is bigger than that. Yeah, I used to say that, but Georgia gave me a better word because sin is worse than we think it is. Grace is bigger than we think it is. Jesus is greater than we think it is. Because a lot of church people think, yeah, Jesus, he's my big brother, and you know, me and JC, we got this good thing going. Well, he is, you know, our brother in one sense, but he is our Savior and our Lord. You know, not my, you know, my friend that overlooks all my indiscretions. And I've, well, not as many as Kelvin, but I've got a lot of indiscretion. Yeah, Charlie.
We've spent over the years, 27 with his son-in-law, a Muslim in Georgia country. They believe that man is basically good, he's raised, and none of them have assurance of salvation. Yeah. But you know how the sinful nature can be so twisted, you know, so they become, they know that there's no guarantee of going to heaven, but I sense a certain self-righteousness. You know, they can't tell if they're going to heaven or not. A Muslim means they submit to God, but then I see kind of a pride in being humble, that some of them aren't too worried, because they've done so, they're all sure that their good has outweighed their bad, because that's human nature. You get blind, and if you don't see the blazing holiness of God and how far you fall short, you're judging by your own standards.
That's coming next. And Charlie, what is the sort of the one guarantee? Do you know?
Of getting into heaven?
Yeah. What's one shortcut there?
I've tried to read the Quran several times. I just can't make heads or tails of it. I just can't. But if you die a martyr.
If you die a shaheed, a martyr.
The only way a woman can get into paradise is if her husband approves of her.
Well, he's got 72 virgins. Why would he want his wife there? Exactly.
You burn my food again. You're not
going
to go to paradise.
Yeah, very good. So Charlie, yeah, the Campbells have worked in that culture, and the Merwins, we've got some real resources that know the people, you know, have been around this. So thank you, Charlie. So salvation, this is continuing on. So good, those angels. Kelvin has a couple good deeds. If your good deeds outweigh your bad, you don't have assurance. That was a good comment. You never have assurance, because remember who Allah is. He's very fickle. He's absolute and he's fickle. And that's one thing that the nature of God, you know, is God our the one true God, our God, good because he does good things, or are good things good because they come from God? Well, yes, it would be outside his nature to do wrong or evil or lie. Allah is not like that. He can change his mind. And that's why you get these, what are they called when, a fatwa, you know, so all of a sudden I could say, you know what, if you want to be good CFCNs, you will go kill everybody in Lake George. And they have that sort of power, and like Charlie was alluding to, you know, sort of, and we are self-righteous about killing infidels. And Stacy, you saw that where, you know, you were an infidel. We're all infidels. So, okay, so good deeds must outweigh the bad. So it's like Charlie said, it works. Here's from the Quran, Surah 23. Surah just means there are chapters. And those whose scales are heavy with good deeds, it is they who are the successful. But those whose scales are light, those are the ones who have lost their souls, being in hell, abiding eternally. So clean up your acts. You people, we're going to get some scales here. So can you think of a verse that says that very explicitly? There's lots of them, but what's my favorite verse? You don't know, you don't care. For by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that, what? All of the preceding, see, think about that. All that is, that not of yourselves, is the gift, again, of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, and we have unfortunately in the church and in some denominations, we have classes of Christians, you know, that, you know, I obey more, or I give more money than you, or, you know, I do this and this, and so therefore I'm more righteous, and God probably does. I mean, I'm a pastor, so it's not fair, but God probably does love me more than you. But that's the way people think. And by the way, baptism, remember, I've been baptized 3 times, so I know I'm better than you. Did you hear that, Charlie? That's the head deacon abusing his pastor. All right, so now Jesus. And then, you know, people are all worried about, you know, how can I argue with, you know, Muslims or anybody, or, you know, John and Peg saw this in all the cultures they were in. You know, I can't be an expert on trying to poke holes in your religion. You, as a Christian, anybody can start with, well, who is Jesus? The person and work of Christ. And what did he do, the work? What did he do on the cross? That separates Christianity from all other false religions. And they are all false religions in the world. So Islam, I'll give you a few. They believe in the virgin birth. That's okay. But he is only a messenger. As in the Quran, far be it for Allah to have a son, and they have a very human, or, you know, fleshly, you know, they think a son, that's a little baby boy that, you know, God directly gave birth to. They have a very, secular understanding, And that, unfortunately, a lot in the church, when we think of the Son of God, we think of little baby Jesus. Is that, did little baby Jesus start to exist on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning? You better say no. You're thinking too Western. You know, they have no problem because Jesus, I mean, Muhammad's better, but Jesus is probably, you know, number two. And so virgin birth, they have no problem. But okay, here's a thing you guys know. Just because people will say something correct about one aspect of something, that doesn't mean they understand it. You know, my favorite football player, when he beats his chest and when he scores a touchdown and says, God, that does not mean he's a Christian. It might mean he's a self-righteous, yeah, God's doing his buddy me a favor by letting me score touchdowns. So in he is the son of Mary, so a physical son. So of course Jesus is a person, Jesus is a human. They just don't believe he's obviously divine, because that would be shirk. So one of the hadiths, the commentary, he's the son of Mary. And Christmas, I don't know much more about this, but the Christmas date was changed, which we have folks in the church quibble about that too. You know, that what is the date of Christian? I'm not Christian, of Jesus' birth, Christmas. I'm not going to get into that. Okay, but I'll just, 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Okay, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. He is the anointed one, which, of course, has secular Davidic connotations, but also understand the Bible. We know that the Messiah is the greater son of David, and fully divine. But so who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:22. Okay, just two more. Crucifixion. So Islam, Jesus never really died, because that would be dishonorable for a prophet to die. Obviously, God wouldn't kill one of his great prophets, Jesus. Surah 4 says, and for there, you know, us, the mainly Christians, indeed, we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him to them. And indeed, those who differ over it are in doubt about it. In other words, you people, if you believe that Jesus actually died on the cross, you're wrong. Are in doubt about it, you infidels. They have no knowledge of it, no knowledge of it except the following of assumption. We just assumed it. We just made it up. And sorry, asterisk, little side, and there are people in the church that try to, you know, explain the empty tomb. There's lots of apologetics involved with, you know, why was the tomb empty? Well, I can explain it. Well, how about anything other than the resurrection? I mean, it takes more faith to believe some of those conspiracy theories. And they did not kill him for certain. Are you guys certain that Jesus was not killed? Ah, you're in trouble. So Allah took Jesus to heaven. He was a special prophet. And who was substituted? Judas was substituted on the cross, made to look like Jesus. So Judas was crucified on the cross. Jesus went, Allah took that nice man, Jesus, took him to heaven so he could learn at the feet of Muhammad. Probably. All right, 1 hour, we're going to be on time. Okay, so the Bible, obviously, are the God's Word. Need I say more? Scripture, the Bible, the only Bible, was corrupted, obviously, and is abrogated, which means replaced by the Quran. So, I mentioned, the Psalms, they like the Psalms. They like the first five books of the Old Testament, except the Bible was corrupted when it says Isaac was offered. Somehow that error got into the Bible, that Isaac, should have been Ishmael. The Quran, you can believe all, these are good, but if the Quran says otherwise, that's what you believe. And an interpretation of, or a principle of interpretation for the Quran is later surahs, later chapters supersede the earlier ones. So sometimes some of the early chapters of the Quran, sort of chronological, was when Muhammad was not in power. Later on, when he took over, started getting surahs much more strict. Now I'm in charge, I'll tell you what you can believe. So what do we say to that? The Bible is corrupted. And this is a huge issue in the church today too. Can you think of a verse? All scripture profitable for doctrine, right thinking, reproof, correction, wrong thinking. There's an awful lot of that in the church today. For instruction in righteousness, how to live godly lives, not like Charlie was saying, not, our own self-righteousness, and that the man, for correction, that's for correcting bad behavior. That's a lot of people are, if we only live by the Ten Commandments, well, that's nice, but it goes much deeper than that. And then for instruction, how to rightly live, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. 17. So then at the end of these, we're at the end. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. That's Psalm 122:6. So I'm 20 seconds early. Now Scott's going to make us go late. So did a bunch of white guys at the Council of Carthage in 397, they decided what was going to be the Bible? I'm kidding you. Scripture has been written by men, and some will argue one book in particular could have been written by Priscilla, but most likely all men in that culture. So who wrote the first books of the Bible from a human standpoint? The correct answer is, may sound like a squirrel, but it's always God, right? Ultimately, God is the big A author, but the small a, that's the amazing thing about Scripture versus the Quran, which was dictated by Allah to this illiterate guy who was somehow able to write it down, and Kaditha, his older wife, helped him write down these visions. But God, the Holy Spirit, superintended so that what was written by men was exactly what God wanted. And so who wrote the first books? Well, it's always God. Moses. So the first books of the Bible. And then depending on, you know, dates and when books were written, but who wrote the last book of the Bible? John. And so, you know, it's spread out over, goodness, 2,000 years. But what Scott's point, very good. Our scripture, God wrote it. It was complete, I believe. See, this is, here's another area where I think the church gets itself in trouble. It was complete by 95 AD, the last book when John on the Isle of Patmos wrote Revelation. So 95, Muhammad was born, was conquered in 632. And then over a course of several years, during Muhammad's life, that was the revelation, you know, that is the Quran. And like I started off, and so the Bible influenced Muhammad. He, you know, a couple things he liked out of there, you know, it's, ooh, I like that. And if you read the Quran, a vast percentage of it is basically a plagiarism of the New Testament. You know, doesn't mean it's Christian, though, does it? You know, he's taken verses and, like we do, take them out of context and make them say what he wants to do. So, very good. Thank you, Scott. Anybody else?
Joy. I haven't studied this, but I think that the Christians that Muhammad encountered, a lot of them had an adverb view of Jesus.
Yes.
You touched on that before.
And there are a lot of, we'll call them, there's a fine line between a Christian who is aberrant versus a heretic. There are a lot of quote-unquote Christian folks in the world that, you know what a monophysite is? Monophysites, monophysite, you know, oh, they're just good. No, they're not. Because they believe in the one nature of Christ. I'm sorry, you don't believe in the real Jesus. So, you know, just because Muhammad wrote down a lot of New Testament verses, and he ran into, and so what can we learn from that? Ran into bad Christians. Messengers, witnesses, don't put your trust in them. It's what they are saying, which is hopefully corrupt. But just because some group says it's, you know, ringing your doorbell and saying we're the witnesses for Jehovah, perhaps, that doesn't mean they represent the God of the Bible. Be very careful. You know, we tend, in our culture, we are very gullible, and, you know, being overseas, you know, the Merwins and the Campbells, they have firsthand experience with a lot of this stuff. So, I guess just to finish the point, do we all believe the same God? Well, I would argue no, because, so you believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they say, no, we don't. Then you don't believe in my God, the one true God. We have to be that precise. And in, you know, our current culture, you know, the woke and all the stuff we've got, that's going to be test our witnessing. But we need to be good, like Charlie was mentioning. Apparently also, you know, Mecca was a navy town, not really, but think evil like a navy town. And so the Christians he ran into had a misunderstanding that didn't help him understand the one true God. And they were not living lifestyles that were appropriate. And so if you base your Christianity on, I don't think I'll step on any cows in this one, Joel Osteen, you know, if you base your Christianity on him, I'm sorry, that's not, let's look to the Son and be conformed to his image, not the image of even Billy Graham. By the way, sorry now. Scott made us late. And I talked too much, sorry. But I have to use my voice. I'm talking more, and I don't get to talk.